Hi, welcome to the Brown and Happy podcast. In our time together, I will share what it means to be brown and happy. For many of us, everything looks good on paper, but we're still not happy and living fulfilled lives. It's time to change this, and I can help. I'm your host, Dr. Payal Patel Gayal. Hello, ladies. Today I have a very special guest, one of my current clients who I love and adore. And I think it'd be fun to go through how she found me, kind of what her experience has been working with me. And we thought it was fun to call this podcast the Magic Masala of Coaching. And we're both going to laugh about this, but it kind of came about because as I was coaching her, and I were talking about how things are very similar, struggles are very similar amongst us women, especially us South Asian or brown women. The only difference is the masala you put. So if you're someone who understands this, you guys get it. It's the culture thing. So my friend, Dr. Cheruba Prabhakar, is going to be talking to you guys. I'm going to let her introduce herself, kind of who she is, where, you know, a little bit about, you know, how she came to me, and we'll take it from there. So hi, Cheruba.
Hi, thank you so much for having me, Payal. I love the title of this, Magic Masala. You're absolutely right. I think every situation has its own little masala to it, but there are a lot of commonalities among us South Asian women that I think you do such a great job coaching on. So a little bit about me. I am a board certified OBGYN. I live in the San Francisco Bay Area. I've been married for almost 13 years and I have three kids, ages 2 through 8. And I actually run my own private practice out here. And busy person, busy mom, and all of those entrepreneur, all of those things. And I have really been able to expand my mind and give myself a lot of free space that is clutter-free based on our coaching. So I really enjoy this experience, and I can tell you more.
Cool. So I want to know, I think I already know, but I think it'd be fun for the audience to know, like, what happened when you first heard about coaching? And then how did you come across like wanting to work with me? Because I think that especially this like personal growth and mental health is a growing space, especially in the brown community. And, you know, I want to say a lot of us high achievers, like we don't prioritize that. And so I would want everyone to kind of think about like, what are things that they have tried, you know, what are reasons that they would even consider doing this work. So how did you find me?
Yeah. So, you know, I never heard of coaching actually through medical school and residency and all of that. I actually heard of coaching the first time during the pandemic in 2020. I think a lot of people were home, the online space was growing, and coaching was also exploding. And so through some Facebook groups and physician entrepreneur groups, I came across coaching and I was like, oh, this sounds cool. And I think I've always been one for self-improvement. And so I was like, oh, let's try this. And it was an investment, and I really just was opened up to and exposed to different types of thinking, which were foreign to me. And so I really enjoyed it. It gave me just more options when it came to thinking about certain things. And so after that, I did various forms of coaching for a couple of years. But I did feel that our South Asian, like not everybody in that coaching space got what I was struggling with as a South Asian woman, as a high achieving South Asian woman. I think our cultural nuances are very different than, you know, the white culture or the black culture or any other culture, really. And so I felt like, yes, I was getting all this coaching, but heart of hearts, like, were the issues that I was really struggling with, did I get more clarity on that? Not really. And then I saw your posts on Instagram, a few times, and I was like, oh, I wonder what it would be like to work with her. She's South Asian. She says she's coaching South Asian women. But I really didn't take action at that time. There was no crisis in my life at that moment, and so I didn't do anything until there was a crisis, and then I called you right away. And then here we are.
How it usually starts, can I tell you, that's like the most normal thing, because even myself, right? Like I'm looking at me, I'm not even talking about all of you guys that I coach. Like, how did coaching come into my life? With crisis, right? With like trauma, with suffering, with pain. And I was struggling in my personal life, and I was struggling in my marriage. And I was just like, I don't understand. I did everything right, you know, like, why am I like not happy when I did everything right? So, like, just like you, like when I came into the coaching space, and this was, I want to say, like beginning of before pandemic, and I love how that's like pre-pandemic, post-pandemic, that's how we talk now. But like, I grew so much because I did therapy first, and I'm very open about this. And a lot of times I might do an episode about coaching versus therapy to go into it maybe next time. But I did therapy first, and I was went from like crisis state and being really anxious and really stressed and not knowing like even how to function to being very functional. Right. It was such a gift to find a therapist. And this therapist, she was not South Asian. I actually just found someone like super quick. And I really like the second one I found, I really loved her. But coaching came into my place because one of my friends who is white was getting certified, and she said, oh, Pyle, do you want to do this? And so I was like, as any good Desi girl, I was like, wow, free therapy. I'll do it. And then you come into it and you're like, oh, this is not therapy. This is very different. And I took it all in. And so, you know, just to complete this, but my coaches, when I started, it came in the coaching space, no one looked like me. And I do have some colleagues that I'm going to say acknowledge. I do have some colleagues who now like are also South Asian, but very few commit to coaching our community. And in particular, I feel like I'm one of the only ones who does like the emphasis on, you know, all brown women, and all aspects of life, right? Like we talk about like work, we talk about with you, we talk about work, we talk about your family, your birth family versus your family you've created, the in-laws, we talk about friendships. And for me, like parenting is a big part of the work. As an integrated pediatrician, it's like a double whammy. Like, of course, we're going to go into the parenting thing. And that's how I was like, I want to create a space for people who want to grow like me, but don't know how to explain why we don't just cut off our parents.
Exactly. And in so many of these forums that I used to be in, even physician groups, somebody would post about their mom or their sister or their dad or whatever and complain, and people would be like, just that sounds toxic, just don't ever talk to them. And I'm just laughing because I'm like, yeah, that would never really fly in our South Asian homes, right? You can't just like cut off your family members, right? I mean, I guess you could, but like, let's be real, that doesn't, that is not really how it works. But how do we still find a way to set those boundaries and to reframe some of those generational things that have been going on? Because that's what I found with our South Asian people. Like, it's the same thing in every house, maybe just a little bit of a different flavor or masala, as we say, right? But it's the same underlying problems that are just, or traumas that are being passed on from one generation to the other. And so I think the average white coach doesn't quite get that because they're not really, it's a different setup. So that's where I found working with you, for me was really great because I didn't have to explain every little thing, and that's in that, how my family works or how this works or that works in our culture, because you get it. Like, you're South Asian, you get it. And so I was able to make a lot of progress quickly, which was a game changer for me. Because in the past with coaching, I mean, I could go 3, 4 months and we could still be on the same topic, and like my coach still wouldn't quite get it the way you did. And so I felt like, oh, in just one or two months, I made huge leaps and bounds. So for me, that was really fun and wants me to, you know, continue doing the work.
Yeah. So what a gift, right? Like, this is what I feel like every day I wake up. And I'm excited for the work that I'm doing, especially because when I think about all of us who have achieved so much in our lives, right? And let's be honest, we did all the things that we should have been doing, right? Study, you know, career, family, right? We also deserve happiness.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, yes. We deserve happiness. And it's just, the world is more complex. So when we just think that we've arrived, you know, we really haven't arrived. It's like, oh, okay, here start the problems now, right? Like, now I have to, okay, I was successful by myself all these years, but now I have to be successful in the context of marriage. Mm. I have to be successful in the context of raising a family and what all that means, and not just repeating the same things that, you know, happened when we were kids or whatever. And so, you know, reframing all of that, and we change over time, right? Our spouse changes, and navigating all of that is also challenging. And I think this work is important because it really enables us to live to our best, like live the best versions of ourselves, rather than just saying, oh, okay, yeah, great, I'm a wife, I'm a mom, okay, check, check, let's just keep, you know, doing the motions like over and over again, rather than, and instead asking, well, how can I make this the best relationship that I can have? How can I be the best parent? And I think that is a shift for our generation, because we're just asking those questions of ourselves. And that's, again, where this work has been so important for me.
So it's fun because I know that, I think I mentioned this to you before, but I refer to our first, second generation immigrant experience as like our sandwich, we're the sandwich generation, and usually use that term for like when you're taking care of your aged parents and you're taking care of like children. I want to say it's when we're, in my work, it's like when we're fusing the stuff from the past. So our childhood, our culture, right? And our parents grew up in more of a survival kind of mindset, right? And so we're in that, and we're trying to combine that with our children who are experiencing a completely different version of their childhood, you know, and we're protecting them from some of the stuff that we know wasn't healthy for us. And also we appreciated the sacrifice that was given by our elders in our community, you know, our families. And so like, I think it becomes very heavy for us to carry the burden, yeah, both sides.
Yes. And I think we do it subconsciously as high achieving women, right? It's sort of just in our blood. It's just sort of what we've been doing until we take a step back and think, oh, is all this really necessary? Yeah. You know?
When you learn to kind of take a step back, which is what you've been really good about, like, gaining that ability to do that, is you start saying no to things.
Yeah.
And your default, yeah, emotion when you say no, which we're all trained, is like guilt and shame.
Yep.
We stop allowing for that to be the default emotion.
Yes, that's right. And when we say yes, we do it because we want to and not because of obligation, which is a huge difference as well. Yeah. And so, yeah, I think which this work
what,
is...
Right, when you say yes and not out of obligation, like how does that, like what happens then for you?
I mean, for me, it's like, yeah, here are all my options and I really want to do this and I feel joyful when I'm actually doing it and not holding a grudge or not in my mind, like, you know, whining that so-and-so made me do that, or this was expected of me or whatever. Right. Like, so that's huge. And like knowing that it's okay to disappoint some people, like that's fine. Like the world is not going to end like we were thought. like we were kind of conditioned before.
I went to a live event last week, which I've never done that. And it was for brown women. And they were like entrepreneurs and creatives, right? So like, especially for me, like I've been exposed mostly to our own medical world. And like now I love like meeting people outside the space. And one of the things that one of the gal said was, disappoint people, disappoint your parents. You're speaking specifically because a lot of times people come to me because of the relationship with their own birth parents, right? And their own siblings and things like that. And she said, if you don't disappoint them, you're going to disappoint yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is really completely countercultural to what we've been raised, right? Like, please, A, B, C, D, you come last, right? Like, that's sort of what...
Yes, and it's also different if you're a man and you're a woman.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, because I'm sure your husband was taught different kind of value systems about being more confident, decisive, be a leader, right? Versus, you know, subconsciously we do it already. We're like, well, how is this going to affect my family? How is this going to affect my, you know, my clients or my patients? How is this going to affect everyone else? And it's my job to make sure everyone else is okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is not very sustainable, right? Like we all know that, especially as working moms, or even if you're not a mom, just a high functioning professional woman, like, no, you need time for yourself and to make the decisions that are right for you. And so I think that's been really good. And also just the simple act of like investing in yourself, right? Like, I think that's huge. I mean, we, in some ways, we don't have anything to quote unquote show for it, in the sense it's not a material thing, right? It's not a piece of clothing, it's not a bag, it's not shoes. But for me, it's the mental freedom and the freedom of mental clutter that has been invaluable. Like, I can't even really place a price on that. And so I will forego any shoes and bags and clothes, you know, to get that kind of freedom and space.
And also, you don't have to pick.
Yes, that's true. That's true. That's
right. True. I think I love how you said this, because this is something that I think a lot of people come to me and they really are wanting to be happy. They want to change their relationship with their mom or, you know, their partner, or they want to grow in their career, but they've never spent money investing in themselves. And so when they first come, there's an excitement, and then there's like a, oh no, am I allowed to give myself permission to spend money on me? That is not one of the okay methods. And this is where I'm going to go. I think it's really fun. It's like, it's okay to spend money, like you said, on material things, right? Like bags. I want to say like home, car, gold, weddings, parties, like, how much is each like Indian outfit worth, right? Like, I'm just thinking
Seriously, I don't know any of that. And I'm not saying that you can. I mean, it's great. You can do both. But to be honest, a lot of people also have a budget, right? And they're like, okay, well, they can't even fathom like spending the money on coaching when, as you said, they could travel here or they could do this family vacation or whatever. But, and it's great if you have the budget to do both. That's ultimate, and hopefully we can all be there and get there. But I'm just saying, for me, like, if I had to choose one, yeah, it would definitely not be the Indian clothes and the gold. For me, now that I've had a taste of what this can do for my life, like, it would definitely be this. And I think that's also like a little bit of a shift that our generation has to kind of get used to.
Giving yourself permission to invest time, energy, and money in ourselves. Mm-hmm. I just want to be honest, like, we're not just making it, right? We have worked decades to be able to have the careers that we have, because that's all that we focused on for the beginning part of our life, right? And I think it's really fun because everyone that comes to me is super successful in what they do, even if they don't consider themselves successful. Come on, like, yeah. who are like a physician that, you know, has a successful practice, and coaching has helped you make more money.
Yeah. Yeah. It frees up my time and like I can actually
even charge, right? Like what you charge, like even market yourself in a way that you want to market yourself. So there's so many benefits. Like I've spent over six figures in coaching, you know, over the span of, you know, my career. And I can tell you, I live in so much freedom, but also like I have the ability to do big things and I have gotten out of my way, which I see that for you too.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And when you're in it, like you can't really, it's hard to coach yourself out of it, right? Like you, there's, because you just can't see all of the things. And that's something I really loved about working with you. Like within 10 or 15 minutes of our hour, you'd be like, oh, and this is how this relates to that. And you would just like connect all these dots that I didn't even see or would not have really ever seen. And so that was so valuable to me.
It's funny because we can never see our own stuff.
Yeah.
I don't see my own stuff, right? Like even if I do this work, like whoever you've seen in this work, they don't see their own stuff. Let me give you a joke. Like Tony Robbins doesn't see his own stuff, right? Like I'm using an example that people would know, right?
Like, yeah.
He doesn't see his own stuff. He has a coach, right? Just yeah. Like I have two, right? That one for my business and one for my personal life that helps me see the stuff. And especially for us, we've been so conditioned to believe that our stuff and our stories are true that we're never going to question them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. Yes, that was really groundbreaking for me too, that there are different ways to think about it or, oh, maybe this is not true.
Yeah, so. I think that knowing that even if, and I just want to, for the audience, say, like, Cheruba and I don't come from the same part of India at all.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Different language, different sides, right? North, south, whatever it is, right? But it was funny because I remember Cheruba saying, and this is why I said masala, because to her, I said, it's all the same stuff, right?
Yep.
I told her, I said, the same stuff I coach my Pakistani clients, I coach my Muslim clients, I coach like Sri Lankan clients. Like it doesn't matter. Actually, honestly, it's coach my white clients, right? Even with the same stuff, but the masala is a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
The underlying struggle for us is really seeing ourselves and being willing to ask for what we want. And sometimes we don't even know what we want because we haven't given ourselves time to even dream.
Yeah.
And hope.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also like that, like, you know, nothing major drastically changed in my life, right? It was these little tweaks that I had to make here and there. I mean, little tweaks with big impact. So, and I love that you kind of got that about my culture, our culture, that, oh yeah, like just cutting off your parents and siblings and your friends is not really, you know, going to fly here, but how can I still achieve what I want to in that context? Like, let's work on that. Which was great, which I see is a very different approach than some other, you know, coaching programs that I've been part of.
Yeah. So this is the thing, like I had to learn myself too, is that some people are scared to even start this process because they think that they're going to have to cut ties and like burn their life down and start fresh. And it's a total opposite. Like you just said, like, yeah. People didn't even know you're working with me, you know, unless you share with them. Not that they need to know, like that's your choice if you want to share or not share. And I have to tell you, some of my clients work with me and then decided, yes, they would like to no longer have certain people in their space. Maybe it's like they're in a marriage that they're struggling and they're like, I don't know if I should stay or if I should go. Like I have people who've been working with me for a while and they get very clear on they're not the victim, right? They're making a choice out of empowerment. And I don't even think that we've seen that in our community until recently. I have to say that there has been a shift even in what they show in the media that's a little bit more favorable, but it's still in its baby stages.
Yeah. 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 No, that's such a good point. And I think you get to choose, right? Like how you want it to go. But it's not this like major change in your identity and your family structure and all of that. It's just simple, couple simple words. But to say those couple simple words, there's a lot of work that goes yes. behind it. And that's this work, which I found so empowering.
Thank you so much. This was so, so good. So if you had to kind of give a message to people who are like, you know, I've been listening to Bile, I've been watching her in her space, like, and they're still haven't, you know, decided, right? Like, if this is for them, like, what do you want to tell them?
I would say, you know, number one, just don't be afraid to invest in yourself. Number two, especially if you're a woman of South Asian descent or you're high functioning professional woman, I really think that there's a lot of unsaid nuances that go along with culture, and don't underestimate that. It will help you get results faster if you actually work with somebody who gets it. And so that's probably my biggest message, honestly, because I've seen how different this experience has been with you compared to some other coaches. And I brought the same problem, believe it or not, you know, it's the same problem, but now it's actually resolved and like I've moved on with my life and things are actually better. So, I mean, that's a pretty outstanding result if you ask me. So I think that would be my biggest message. Like, don't underestimate the familiarity and the knowledge of those cultural nuances.
That is so good. I could literally talk to Churba all day because, you know, like she's not a unicorn, right? That's what I want to say, you guys, like, she's not a unicorn. You know, I could have brought any of my clients and they have come before to talk about this work. And I just want you guys to understand, like, your problem is not a unique problem. Your problem is not a unicorn problem. Like, I get it. And when I don't understand something, and it's been really helpful with Churba too, that I ask questions, you know, mm-hmm. like we're from a different religion, right? And I'm like, let's explain this to me. I'd like to know more about this. And it's been so lovely for me to have her in my space and continue to have her in my space. So thank you so much for coming today. I so, so appreciate it. And you guys, I just want you to take a minute, listen to yourself. Where are you struggling? Where are you not identifying that you want to be happy and you want to grow? Because I want to help you. And if you have any questions, please feel free to reach out. This is a space that I made for you, right? And I want to help each and every one of you, one woman at a time. All right. Have a lovely day.
Thank you.
Hey, if you're finally ready to start being happy, I invite you to join my list. This is where you'll have access to all my workshops, coaching, and pearls. Just head to my website, www.payalghail.com. That's PayalGhail, and join my list. I can't wait to meet you.